Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. But if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Sales and marketing is a tricky business. Both involve multiple inbound and outbound channels, and the marketer's job is to somehow get the right balance between the two. Here to guide us through that balancing act is Alicia Spencer, Marketing Director of WorkLife. Alicia, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you here again. And before we dive into that tricky balance that I talked about there, tell us a bit about WorkLife.
Oh, great. Thank you. So I'm new in role at WorkLife, and what WorkLife offer is a co-working and private office space across central London and some cities across the UK, really designed to help make people happier at work, really going above and beyond to delight our member audience and help small businesses and solo workers really thrive and, you know, feel productive and happy in the workplace.
That sounds great. So I mentioned that this kind of inbound, outbound channel balancing act was a kind of topic for today. Why is it so tricky?
I think coming from a tech and fintech background, you know, I was very focused on enterprise selling and account-based marketing and very outbound-led activities, and coming into this new to me segment of the market that's really looking at, you know, supporting smaller businesses and very much led by inbound has been really refreshing, but has certainly led to a few questions for me on that balance between inbound and outbound approaches. So to me, driving inbound is, you know, one of the most cost-effective approaches you can take, resulting in, you know, much higher levels of conversion, at least that's what I've seen in the past. But what happens when you start to reach the capacity of your stock or your service or availability, in this case at WorkLife for your office spaces? You know, we only have a few quite specific office spaces left to offer. So if we might have space in our Farringdon office, for example, but if people are looking for a home in Soho, or we might have a 10-person office and someone's looking for a 4-person, you know, it's really tricky to make that match. And it is a little bit of matchmaking in our worlds. Of course, we try and offer alternatives, so our co-working proposition, use of meeting rooms, that kind of thing. But sometimes we just can't meet the needs of the people who are inquiring. And obviously, we don't want to be spending money on advertising channels and approaches that are not, you know, we're not going to be able to deliver against. And equally, we don't want to disappoint our audience as well, having people come and reach out to us, ask us questions, and feel like we're not able to serve them. So that really prompted this question around, is the inbound approach still the right approach for us to be leaning so heavily on, despite its prior cost efficiency and reach? You know, is that still right for us as a business? And then where does outbound start to come into play to really enable us to target the audience that we want to reach with the stock that we have available, so we can really, you know, better match make those scenarios. And of course, there's always challenges with outbound as well, in terms of gathering the right kind of data and identifying that audience and, you know, really being able to deliver against that matching experience. But yeah, certainly it feels like there has been a tipping point for us as a business, and I imagine many other businesses probably experiencing the same thing.
Okay, so it's a tricky thing to navigate. What are some of the factors that should guide the marketer on the right balance of inbound and outbound for their business?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think every business and sector is going to be a bit different, but I imagine there are many who are having a similar experience to us, finding their business evolving and their needs and market evolving. And I think, you know, there's also many businesses that are making, you know, effective use of both in equal measure for different purposes. So when I was at O2, we had our inbound, really content-led strategy, driving lead scoring channels, leveraging content that was really focused around the smaller end of the market. Of course, we had our bigger key accounts activity, which is very focused on outbound as well. But for this smaller, broader audience, we were using inbound to try and encourage engagement that then we could use as our focus and our targeting for the follow-up outbound activities. So they really worked hand in hand to build that clearer picture of the audience, what their intent was, so we could reach out to them at the right time and again match make with our offering there. So I think, you know, there are a few different scenarios you can use them. It's not always necessarily a continuum, like the example I gave with work life. But I mean, some of the, you know, really important things I think you need to consider when looking for that balance is your audience, you know, the profile of that audience, whether they're large or small companies, consumer, whether it's a very niche audience or more mass market, and, you know, related to that, how you're going to identify how you're going to reach that audience, you know, what are the channels that you can reach them, and also the cost viability of using some of those channels. You know, some decision makers can be notoriously tricky to find, to differentiate and to reach cost effectively. So I think that's really going to fold into your approach. And I think weighing that against the value of a customer and their overall lifetime value will help you decide, you know, where the investment will sit and the appropriate channels to work through. So, you know, all of that kind of external audience size piece should factor in, but also, you know, internal factors as well. So what's the profile of your existing sales and marketing team to deliver against some of these channels? Whilst you can be flexible to a certain degree, I'm sure in today's markets, not always necessarily achievable to be hiring in, you know, multiple salespeople at once or huge marketing teams. So, you know, keeping it practical for the size and scope of your team, both from a people perspective and a budget perspective. And thinking about some of these outbound initiatives, they can be quite time and resource intensive, you know, to have an outbound campaign that's really insight-led, targeted to the right segment of data. It just takes time to build that understanding and that messaging to effectively engage them. So it's really weighing up that, you know, degree of personalization as well as you know, the resources that you've got to support that. So quite a few factors to weigh up there, I think.
Right, just a few. And how do you know? I mean, you might answer, I guess, this next question with, well, you know, you never know. But how do you know whether you've got the balance right? Can you ever know whether you've got the balance right?
Yeah, well, I think it's a continual journey for sure. Some key indicators I think you could look at are your cost per acquisition. If you've got a clear view of that, comparing that over time, and ideally understanding, you know, that cost per acquisition by channel and by campaign will all, you know, really inform the direction you're heading in. That's certainly one of the key indicators we've used. I think as well, ensuring that you are driving the volume of leads for your sales team and for the business to reach targets is always going to be key. And layering into that your overall marketing ROI and that, you know, good progression through the funnel and conversion rate, avoiding having a leaky funnel and closing off each of those leaks as best you can. And I think, you know, timing's an interesting consideration here, because you won't necessarily always see the impact over a short-term period. Often we can be measuring performance over the month or the quarter, but some of your activities will take a lot longer to, you know, come to fruit, particularly depending on your sales cycle. And in some instances of B2B, we know that can take years. So, you know, really having that flexible view over those short term measurement points and longer term is really key as well.
Mm-hmm. You talked about this kind of being an ongoing process. I wonder how often is it that an organization should be reviewing its inbound outbound balance?
I think the more consistently you can be reviewing, the better. Appreciate that might or not always be practical on a super frequent basis, but certainly on a weekly basis, trying to keep tabs on your lead volumes, those key indicators, your conversion data and how that's evolving, those best performing channels and where you are seeing, you know, good progress with different approaches to help inform your view over a longer term. Now, I'm not suggesting necessarily to make a lot of knee-jerk changes to your approach, certainly not on a weekly basis, but keeping an eye on progress and trends to really inform your more longer term approach. And I'd usually suggest, you know, testing something new, you know, good 6 weeks in market to get a sense if something's working or not, ideally 2 to 3 months, so you can get a proper read on the channel and allowing, you know, activities to optimize and making little changes so that you can then inform your more longer term quarterly strategy when I think you should be making, you know, more considerable decisions about that balance and then, you know, future activities long term as well.
Okay. And how is it that marketing and sales should work together on this one?
I think, you know, it's one of the most important relationships in a marketer's world. And I think, you know, particularly so for this discussion about the inbound and outbound balance, you know, both from an execution perspective and getting the support of your sales colleagues to be able to deliver some of those outbound channels. You know, I know they're not quite as sexy as some of the channels that we use as marketers, but the emailing, the direct outreach that the sales teams support us with are so invaluable and can be some of the, you know, strongest converting channels. So making sure that, you know, marketing and sales are working in partnership, really clear on the core messaging and targeting of your activity, and making sure that that's there right from the start in goal setting for the activity, planning activities together and using the knowledge and expertise from both sets of teams and experiences to feed into that, and also looking at the reporting together and the progress and understanding what little shifts can be made to evolve and improve, you know, are really key to enabling that. So, you know, such an important relationship from this perspective. But also, no, not the only one. I think, you know, it's really important to be communicating what you're testing and your approach with the rest of the business as well, and really aligning on expectations, you know, across from the finance team, working with operations and delivery, and anyone who will be customer facing and driving any new business, having really clear understanding there so they can be supportive of the initiative and help it succeed. And, you know, importantly as well, the leadership team, to make sure that, you know, it's top down. You know, as marketeers, we've got the support we need around us. And particularly if we're changing things, perhaps things that haven't changed in a while, testing new channels, you know, being really clear on what you're expecting to achieve, how you're going to be approaching that, and how you'll deliver that, and what you need from the rest of the business, you know, I think is really key. And something we probably don't talk enough about as marketers sometimes. You know, the most important marketing we can do is often internally, into that internal audience, to get the support of our colleagues and help make these initiatives a success.
Great shout. Alicia Spencer, Marketing Director of WorkLife, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Alicia Spencer. And thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.